Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon is the gospel lesson, the beginning. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And the outline for the sermon is when, and when. Three times that word comes into focus. So the first one, when the Son of Man comes in his glory. This today is Christ the King Sunday, celebrating that Jesus is coming back. And we can recite it this way: Christ has died, Christ has risen, Christ will return again. And as he returns, when he returns, he will gather us into his kingdom to live forever, to celebrate with him, to enjoy eternal life, and on and on and on the description goes. Absolutely amazing and wonderful thing. So, when he comes again, he will separate the sheep from the goats. Remembering what was said in the children's sermon, can you discern between a sheep and a goat in this country? Yeah. Over in Africa and Nigeria, when sheep look goaty and goat look sheepy, and the only difference is tail hangs down, tail stands up. I was lucky I had read that before I met the missionary who asked that as a pop quiz. Okay. So, yeah, she was impressed. Oh, you know the difference. Okay, very good. Don't know a whole lot else, but that I do know. So, it's a powerful lesson because we cannot say as we look around us who is and who isn't. Who is one or who is the other? We cannot say that. We may find somebody whose entire life looks goaty, and it turns out at the end that they're one of the ones Jesus has marked out as his own. And it's an adventure getting them to that place where they enter into eternal life and rejoice in the presence of Jesus forever. We may look at another and say, oh, there's a sheep of the Good Shepherd. And it turns out that not so much. We cannot tell because we cannot see into the soul, and there is all kinds of cautions there for Christians. You just cannot tell. Be careful. Restrain what you say, what you do in a Christian congregation, deciding those things. You have to be very careful and allow the Good Shepherd to do the sorting out of the sheep and the goats. Because not only does he know the difference, but he knows intimately, down deep inside, knows you so well, knows you better than you know yourself. And again, a second lap of this. There may be some who are convinced through almost their whole life that they are separated from Christ. But he's doing his work deep inside. And in spite of the doubts, in spite of the self-questioning, the self-criticizing, again, he's marked them out as his own. And we wouldn't have known it. We would be surprised at it. But then again, when we get to heaven, how many will we look around and see surprise on their faces that were there? So, sheep and goats. When he comes, he welcomes his own. He gives eternal life. He transforms us, raises the bodies of those who are his, who have fallen asleep in death, and they're glorious and new and perfect, how he designed them to be. Changes us into the image of His glory. And then the celebration begins. And it's called the marriage feast of the Lamb. And when Jesus decides to describe feasting in His parables and in His teaching, it includes things like music and dancing and joy and laughter, and on and on we go. This is something to look forward to. Interesting thing is that we could then turn around what He says to His people. And we could say, actually, objectively, these things fit Jesus more than they fit us. So, I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. It fits Him better than it fits us, doesn't it? We were hungry, we were empty in our souls, and He gave us, beyond the good fruits of His good earth, He gave us the Word of God deep in our souls to feed and to nurture us. And in the Lord's Supper, He invites us to His table. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. And Jesus talks to the woman at the well and says, the water that I give you will become in you a water of life, a stream of the water of life springing up to eternal life. And whoever drinks of the water that I will give will never thirst again. And it is the stuff that we really need, the stuff down deep in the soul. I was a stranger and you invited me in. Yes, we were alienated from God. I was a stranger to God. I had walked out on Him. I had forgotten His promises and His words. I'd wandered off into sin. I deserved nothing but for Him to turn His back on me and say, I don't know you. But what did Jesus do? He decided to come to this world to know me and to call me His own and to invite me in, that I might be a part of His kingdom and know Him and live forever with Him. I was sick and you visited me. I was sick with sin sickness. I was sick to the point of death, sick where that sin sickness was going to sweep me away into eternal death. And again, He came and visited. And in His visiting, what did He do? He took on my sin sickness, not His own, mine. Took it on as a burden, carried it to the cross, suffered under that sin for me, accepted the punishment for me, accepted the judgment for me, and healed and made me whole. And this is what He has done. I was in prison and you came to me. Yes, I was captive in sin, captive in darkness, captive in the devil's kingdom. Bound body and soul to everything that was wrong. And He broke that prison for me. When He broke the tomb, He set me free. When He rose from the dead, that was my resurrection starting. And this is what Jesus did for me. So it fits him so very well. But here's the strange thing. This is the second of the winds. When Jesus comes back, He says to His people, I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. And they say, when, Lord? When? It's one of the curious things about Christians, that we look around and we look through our lives and we don't see much of anything that we can hold up in front of God and say, look, God, look at this. Look at what I did. Isn't it wonderful? We know better than that. And so Christians on the day when Jesus returns, we'll have that very strange conversation with Jesus, a conversation we know is coming. And he will say these things and we'll say, "When, Lord? When?" And we'll be absolutely baffled and astonished because he decides that he's going to take all of those things and say, "You did these wonderful things." When, Lord? When, Lord? Didn't Isaiah say all of our righteous deeds are like filthy rags? When, Lord, did we do all of these things? And here's the little teaching tool, the little handle, the description. It's called alien righteousness. That's straight out of confirmation class. Alien righteousness. Alien, in this sense, doesn't mean from another planet. Alien means someone else's. So someone else's holiness, someone else's righteousness. It's the holiness of Jesus that he takes and wraps around us and says, "Now, you have holiness." Me? This isn't mine. But he takes his own holiness and he writes it over our lives. Paul says it. He continues on from where he says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." He says, "For we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus." That's us created in Christ Jesus. "To do good works which God has prepared in advance that we should walk in them." Not my good works. I know better than that. It's not my holiness, not my anything that I can boast of in front of God, but it is the holiness of Jesus, which, by the way, is why he came to the world for longer than a week. Because it wasn't just about Palm Sunday and then Good Friday and Easter. That wasn't all that it was about. From beginning to end, for 30 years, living a life of perfect holiness before God, that righteousness of Jesus that he can then take and wrap around you. And now you, with a robe of righteousness, you with wrapped in the holiness of Jesus, can stand in front of God, and God can say, "Oh, I see that righteousness. Enter into joy, enter into eternal life." And you'll say, "What holiness? When, Lord, when did we ever see you hungry and feed you or thirsty and give you something to drink and so on?" And the holiness of Jesus, in one way, a very sneaky thing, gets into our lives and Jesus starts doing his thing through us and in us. And surprise, on Judgment Day, surprise, there's Jesus pointing to you and saying in front of the whole world and in front of all the angels, "Look at what these have done in my name." And again we'll say, "When, Lord, when?" But, okay, enter into eternal life, we can live with that, can't we? And then for all eternity, alien righteousness, we will not have a holiness of our own ever, not in all eternity. We will continue on for all eternity, robed in Jesus' own holiness. Which is enough of a holiness to last for all eternity. So that is the second of the winds. And the third is, not so pleasant. When those on his left are told, "I was hungry and you gave me nothing to eat." And so on and so on. And they will say, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty and so on, and did not minister to you? Now that's the other curious thing. That those who do not know Jesus, well, the Christians are on the one side saying, When did we do anything righteous or holiness? When, Lord? Those on the other side are saying, oh, wait a minute. We can list all of our good works. Want us to recite them before you, Lord? We can tell everything good that we did. But those good works, disconnected from God, are not the good works of God in their lives. So, they are not by faith. They are not done through the love of Jesus Christ lived in their lives. They are not done connected with God so that God is a part of all of this. And disconnected from God? How good is that? How much does that earn, being disconnected from God? But Lord, I wanted to earn my way into eternal life. But it's a gift. It's a gift, just simply being connected to Jesus Christ, and it's a gift. But Lord, I don't want that connected with Jesus Christ. I want to do it on my own. And the end of that kind of striving for good works is a complete and utter ruin, which is even more sad because eternal life was given as a gift even to them, but they would not have it. Well, what do we make of all of this? Jesus Christ is the one. He is everything. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. And connected with Jesus, we'll go on. And we'll go on connected with Jesus to all eternity. In Jesus' name, amen.